Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
From the home of time,
this is Maritime Radio, Greenwich. Charles and
Live. So a very good evening to you and welcome to Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio. I can't believe it, it's the 34th and final big match preview of the season. My name is Louis Mendes and joining me in the studio here at the Valley, the home of the mid-table in League One addicts, is Mr. Tom Wallin. How you doing, Tom?
All right, yeah.
Yeah,
pretty
you
good?
Yeah. Feeling happy that the season's drawing to a close? Yeah.
Yes and no.
Yes,
it's
and
been
no.
A pretty rubbish season, but 2 weeks into the summer, I'll be wanting football back, I suppose.
Yeah, that's true. Joining the two of us to wallow in the glory of this campaign is Nathan Munn. How you doing, Nath?
Yeah, living the dream. Top of our mini league, mate. I'm buzzing.
Yeah.
We're way above it by now.
Right, yeah. I think
there's a danger, though, that we're going to get promoted into the top half and then finish bottom of that. So, what would you rather, finish top of the bottom half or bottom of the top half?
Well, considering a few weeks ago, like, we were like relegation rivals, and now we could be 12th. Mate, what an improvement year on year we have had. If you look at it in terms, because
every
we were struggling,
has been the right one,
and every game we've improved. We're going to finish 12th. Who could want any more? Who could ask for more? 12th in the league.
Clearly getting carried away with this little good run we've ended the season.
Probably lose like 8-0 on Sunday now.
Right, obviously on tonight's show, this is the big match preview, so we will look ahead to our final game of the season here at the Valley with Swindon Town, already relegated Swindon, of course. Because it's the end of the season, you always get the same sort of topics you want to talk about at the end of the season. You look at the squad, who you're going to keep, you look at your favourite moments of the season, game of the season, that sort of thing. We've got all those sort of things to talk about. There's been some reported goings in the coaching staff, so we're going to talk about that. Reported extension on contracts, we'll talk about those, particularly one for a player that we all love on this show, which is Johnny Jackson, and of course another player we will love on this show, which is Andrew Cross. 70 years ago yesterday, the Addicts won the FA Cup, our only ever major honour, so we're going to hear the highlights from that game and discuss it as well. Nathan's got an amused look on his face, as per normal.
I didn't know you was that old, though. Or tell.
Yeah, so, yeah, no, it's Terry doing the commentary.
Terry was 30.
If we got time, we're going to hear from Jake Forster Caskey from after Saturday's game, so we didn't get a chance to play that on last Sunday's show. And then, like I say, look ahead to the game with Swindon and the protests that will go hand in hand with that game. So I think the first thing we will talk about is, I mean, there's been one of the bugbears that people have had at the club over the last 3 years, sort of instability in terms of management teams. Now, it's been announced that through I think Rick Everett and through Richard Corley that it sounds like both Richie Barker and Simon Clarke are going to be leaving the club at the end of the season. It sounds like Barker's going to go up to Rotherham. He's the assistant manager, and he got Clarke, the first team coach. I'm not sure I've seen exactly where he's going, but it sounds like he's leaving as well. Now, you know, in terms of stability, obviously it's disappointing to lose. I mean, particularly Barker, who we waited for over a month for him to join Robinson after he'd left Milton Keynes. And now it looks like he's not going to hang about. I mean, what would you make of that one first, Tom?
It's really frustrating. I think we've said for a few weeks now that this management team has been brilliant. You know, we've had a rocky second half of the season. We've flirted with relegation, and okay, we joked about it earlier, and our little upturn in form is nice to see, but it's come too little too late. But having said that, as you say, the stability is so important, and I saw a tweet earlier, and the first team coaching lineup since January 2014, you know, you've got Damian Matthew, Alex Dyer, Ben Roberts, Carol Fry, Patrick Van Hoot, David Martain, Wim DeCourt, Jason Yule, Jose Chonachon, Simon Clarke, Kevin Nugent, Richie Barker, Chris O'Loughlin and Lee Bowyer. So that's in just over 3 years we've had that many coaches. Like, how can you get any sort of rhythm in the style of play you want, in the players that you want in certain positions? How can the players get used to going into training every day when that there's that much upturn. You look at the seasons where we've been successful recently, and there's that consistency, and they go in and they know what to expect, and they know what's expected of them. And it must be difficult to do that when you've got new people trying to teach you things every day. You know, if you just imagine going back to school or something, and you've got a different teacher teaching you a subject every day, it's going to be confusing because they don't know what your level is, they don't know what to expect from you, and you don't know what to expect from them. So it's not a surprise, given how we've worked in the last few years, but it's one of the big reasons, I think, that we've struggled.
Yeah, if, interestingly enough, I was listening to a Football Ramble podcast the other day, and they spoke to Professor Chris Brady, who's like a management expert and this sort of thing, and he knows a lot of Premier League managers, and they talked about how when David Moyes went to join Man United, he insisted on taking his whole staff there. So the players who had done really well the previous season and won the league had to deal with a whole new staff. Now, obviously, that's different circumstances to us. We've been on decline, but the fact that there was this turnover of staff, they felt might have affected what had happened there. And, you know, I mean, Sue's talked about on this show, Nath, about how footballers are like children. They crave a bit of consistency, and I guess the lack of consistency in the coaching staff, you know, it could potentially be a problem. I mean, if Carl's now, I mean, we thought he's bringing in his own man when Barker came, but if he's now going to get his own coaching staff and he's going to be happy with that, then you'll see that as a positive. But, you know, if that's not the case, or if there is too much turnover, then it could be seen as a negative as well.
Yeah, there was the turnover isn't going to help, but then on the same token, the amount that we've the amount of staff that we've got there at the moment. So I don't think Lee Turner sits on the bench anymore, does he? Because we've got so many blooming staff down there. It was always inevitable that we're going to have to get rid of a load of staff, and that could also have an effect. Let's say, like you said about children, you know, they have to have consistency. When you've got loads of different voices saying loads of different things, there was times in the technical area the other day where you had Cole, Lee, Richie, Cole, Chris O'Loughlin, whatever his name is, all talking at the same time, trying to get one, and that can't be good for, you know, getting instructions across. So, no, it's not great, but it was going to happen due to the size of the staff that we had. But Richie, I don't know if he was pushed or he's gone voluntary, I don't know. But
I think it sounds like he wanted to.
Yeah, because he's gone to Rotherham, who he used to play for, didn't he? So, I mean, that makes sense. Maybe he wants to go back nearer home. I don't know. But I think, obviously, it needed to be trimmed down anyway, the staff. But, like you said, the consistency now is we need to have that staff before pre-season, so we know the plans, we know when they're coming in throughout, and then keep that for at least, well, 6 months, hopefully. But as Tom said earlier, it could not stay like that. It could change again. We don't know. So
yeah, I mean, it probably was a case of too many chefs with the sheer amount of coaches we had. And you think, you know, the more coaches you have, the more that eats into whatever your budget is. That's all money that has to be paid. So I guess in terms of streamlining that, it's probably a good thing if we can get the right bodies in.
Yeah, I suppose so. And Matt on Sunday's show obviously talked about. Carl's mentioned this budget he's got for the summer, but that includes getting people like Naby Sarr off the wage bill as well, and Vetekele, and people that are out on loan at the moment. So, yes, this does help to that extent, but would you rather get rid of an assistant coach or manager or whatever they are that have been around some of the players that are going to be here next year, or would you rather get rid of some centre-back who's been away on loan and has got no affiliation with this club other than getting his wages paid by them? So, obviously, I think we'd rather get rid of them. It's just whether we can. So, obviously, we know Duchatelet likes to cut where he can and save money where he can. But, as I say, that at the moment, that's to the detriment of the team. And whether he cares about that or not, I think we know the answer. But as fans, we do. And if this is having that effect on the team, then obviously we're not going to be happy. But let's see who he brings in. If, you know, I said on yesterday, I think, when the news broke that if it's Jacko that comes in, then that's going to please some fans. Obviously, he hasn't got a huge amount of experience, but he's someone that's at least got a bit of a connection to the club and could hopefully offer some consistency in that area.
Yeah, obviously, the news about Jacko that we heard from Carl last Saturday was that he sounds like he's going to extend his contract. Now, the way Carl was talking, he said, you know, really wants Jacko to lead the team. He made it sound like he was, you know, playing his last ever game for the club. Now he's getting his contract renewed by the sounds of it, so I don't think that'll be the case. But certainly sounds like he's going to be more involved in coaching next season. I mean, is he inexperienced? I mean, so the only way he's going to learn really is. So do you think he's going to be the number one coach? Do you think Lee Bowyer is going to get appointed? Do you think these are all possibilities, aren't they?
Yeah, just like you say, you know, you've got to start somewhere. You know, Chrissy Powell came in, was inexperienced, and he worked wonders, but It would be nice for him to stay because we do need something like that. I'm surprised Simon Clark's going because what he'd done for the youth guys as well. Mm. But yeah, I can't see him playing too many games this year. Next year, rather. He's obviously, he can't do two games in a week anymore, which we can all see. And he obviously can't play left back. So I mean, I think, you know, he can come in. You know, needs must. You know, if we're literally to the bare bones, but. Will he be a head coach? I don't think so. I think he'd make a good assistant because, you know, he's going to learn his trade somehow, and maybe he'll get a proper head coaching. I don't know, is Chris going to go, O'Loughlin going to go assistant? Is he head coach? But,
well, that's the next question. The last thing we knew that was that O'Loughlin was going to stay till the end of the month. I think when he first came in, it was only for 3 months or something he was going to be here, but now he's staying to the end of the seasons, right? So, I mean, would you expect him to stay? I mean, Carl mentioned during an interview a couple of weeks ago, they felt that O'Loughlin had been shocked by the intensity, I think it was, of League One. And do you think he's, you know, it's obviously all a learning curve for him. Do you think he likely to stay or to go?
I don't think he's going to turn it down if he gets the opportunity to stay here. And I don't necessarily think that Roland's going to get rid of him. It's as we come back to about the summer transfers, it's whether Carl gets his say on what he wants. If Carl thinks Chris is right for the side and he actually makes that decision, then fair enough, because he's the manager of the club. But if he's being told that Chris is staying, then that's a different matter. The only person we haven't really seen here, I think, that we've been linked with over the past few years is Vignovic. So I don't know what he's doing, but he might have to get his bags packed and head over here. But I don't know. As I say, for me, the most important thing is consistency. Do I particularly want Carl Robinson as our manager? Not really. Do I particularly want Chris O'Loughlin as assistant? Not particularly. But if there's some consistency there, let's just try that for a change, because we've had so many changes over the past 3 years and that hasn't worked. So just give it a go and see what happens.
So there you go. Right. So discussing the coaching changes that it looks like it's going to have. A quick break here on Charlton Live, then we're going to move ahead to talking about 70 years ago when Charlton won the FA Cup.
Has it over halfway, going on a run. Holmes still on the ball, heading towards the corner of the penalty area, gets the ball in the box. Novak with a header,
it's a goal!
Oh, what a goal! Lee Novak with a superb glancing header from a magnificent Holmes cross puts Charlton in the lead.
This is Maritime Radio, Greenwich.
Ah! Help!
Charlton Live.
So welcome back to Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio. Now, obviously, on the Sunday show, we looked back at something that happened just 5 years ago, our memorable record-breaking League One title success, and we heard from the man that masterminded that, Chris Powell. Don't forget, if you haven't heard Sunday's podcast yet, it's been pretty much our most popular podcast of the season so far, I think. You can go on to the Acast or via our website and have a look for that, the Chris Powell interview special. It's definitely worth a listen. And we'd like to say once again thank Matt Wright and the Voice of the Valley who provided that interview. Matt came in and spoke about that as well. We reminisced for pretty much the entire hour and a half on Sunday, and it's well worth a listen if you haven't. Now, another piece of reminiscing that we need to do is something that happened 70 years ago yesterday, 1947 at Wembley Stadium. The Addicts, who'd lost the FA Cup final the previous year against Derby by 4-1 in extra time, were due to face Burnley. And now this is how that game went.
Wembley Stadium and the 66th Cup Final. Charlton Athletic in white shirts and Burnley kick off. Football critics prophesied a battle of the defences, and that's the way it turned out. Burnley's half-back line, with skipper Alan Brown outstanding, holds fast against all Charlton's attacks. Now watch Burnley's Jackie Chu, number 7, break away. But left-back Shreve, number 3, is there to tackle him. The ball goes upfield to Chris Duffy, number 11, Charlton outside left. And here he is in a neat little ballet number with Burnley back Arthur Woodruff. This is Charlton's fourth Wembley appearance in 5 years. 12 months ago, the first peacetime final saw them lose to Derby County. So Charlton are not suffering from any Wembley nerves. Five of their boys were here last year. Duffy has the ball again. He passes to Don Welsh, number 10. He shoots, but Strong is there to save. The second half, and both teams put on the pressure. But the defences are still way on top. Billy Morris, number 8, has a bang at goal, but Sam Bartram is safe. And now the Charlton attack is off again. Hurst, number 7, has the ball, but Burnley get it away. And again, it's goalkeeper Bartram, this time with a save from Burnley's Harrison. The Lancashire forwards just couldn't get the ball past the Charlton keeper. With no score after 90 minutes, extra time is played. Last year at the Charlton Derby final, the same thing happened. An hour and a half of grueling, fast-moving football in brilliant sunshine has taken it out of the players. Duffy still has plenty of energy, but this time Woodruff beats the winger to it. Second half of extra time and still no score. It looks like a replay with only 4 minutes to go. Now the ball is in the Burnley half. There's a goal mouth scramble for the ball. Duffy gets to it and slams it into the goal. Motion sees the cannonball goal this way. And that was the end. A 1-0 victory snatched in the last few minutes of extra time gives the cup to Charlton Athletic. Welsh gets the trophy from the Duke of Gloucester. With Bartram carrying the prince, the London team follow their leader. Not so long ago, they were in the third division. They made headlines in a two-season climb into Division One. Now they've notched one more club record by winning their first FA Cup. And that's the way it went at this year's Cup Final.
First FA Cup of many, I'm sure. 1947, we won the Cup, thanks to Terry Smith for the commentary there. we're the only team in South London who's won it. I mean, it's one of those things, obviously, it's a very distant part of the history, and it's something that, you know, as fans, we can't really relate to, but I'm sure grandfathers and whatnot may well have known someone who'd known someone who was there, or, like we say, Terry was there. But it's something you can look on with a bit of pride, really, isn't it?
I still do, but I don't know if that's just because that's all we've got to cling on to. and obviously, we had that run a few years ago and got to the quarterfinals and dreamt of being able to go to Wembley and see us in an FA Cup semi-final, and obviously that was taken from us. So, as you say, it is, you know, you've got to have pride in your club's history. It's just a shame that it's so long ago. And obviously, I think Powell said it himself when he was manager, we don't do cup runs traditionally, so we don't get many chances to celebrate stuff like that. I think Middlesbrough was quarterfinals, wasn't it? And then Sheffield United recently, and they're the only two that I can think of.
Bolton in the quarterfinals in about 2001, 2000.
Yeah, so we get that far and just can't seem to make it over that final hurdle anymore. But I watched the highlights when the club put them up the other day of that game, and it was funny to see, hear the commentary slightly different to today, and the football didn't look too much different. I saw a couple of great tackles from someone who looked to reminded me a bit of Chris Solly, but yeah, just it's a shame it's so long ago, isn't it, really?
Yeah, so the winning goal was scored by Chris Duffy, sort of, I think it was 4 minutes from the end of added time. Everyone now would have seen it, sort of a goal mouth scramble, but he's there poaching. Don Welsh was the captain, went up to lift the cup. There was some great audio from him, actually, that I haven't got hold of, where he says, we're all really tired.
Yeah, yeah.
But it just shows how there are some differences in football. Now, if they talked about Charlton's rise from I think they got two promotions in consecutive seasons and then finished second in the first division. It's incredible to think, really, back in the day, Charlton were one of the biggest teams in the country. Sort of like that was sort of disrupted by the Second World War, where everyone decided to not play football and have a war instead. But yeah, I mean, it's incredible to think how things could have been very different back in the 30s and 40s if the following few years had gone differently.
Yeah, we can always dream that we're getting two consecutive cup finals, FA Cup finals. Don't think I'll see it in my lifetime anyway, but
realistically, do you think there's a chance we'll ever see Charlton win the FA Cup in our lifetimes?
I can't see why not. Yeah. Look at some of the clubs that have done it, you know, like Wigan there, Hull were in the final not that long ago, Villa were in the final, was it last year or year before?
Palace were last year.
Yeah, so like Palace were there, small clubs can do it.
Yeah.
So it takes a bit of luck, but I don't think there's any reason we can't do it. We just never seem to be that team, do we? That's the issue.
Remember, we done it once. Was it Coventry, like when Sean Newton scored? I remember that vividly. I don't know why.
That was a third round game, yeah.
Yeah, and then we seemed to go on it was a sort of era when we went on some sort of run.
And that was the season we got knocked out in the quarterfinals by Bolton, yeah.
Yeah, and then obviously the obviously the most recent one, which we don't really want to talk about with Chris Powell and that, but that was quite close. But, you know, hopefully, but yeah, back in the day we seemed to be quite renowned for football. And also, you know, the older generation, everyone I speak to, when I say, you know, I support Charlton, they'll always mention obviously the Big East Terrace and that and how many people we fit in here and everything. So yeah, we were obviously well known. We've sort of taken a tumble in recent years, shall we say.
Managed, but I mean, there's some of the names that come out of that team. Like we've already mentioned, Chris Duffery and Don Welsh. But you got Sam Bartram is in goals. Obviously, got the statue outside. Jimmy Seed was the manager. Peter Croker was a right back. You recognise these names, and I guess that's part of the reason you play football is you want to be a name that someone will recognise still in 70 years' time, isn't it?
And I think as being the age we are, when we're looking back at it, obviously there's not a lot we can say about the game itself. I don't know if we even necessarily know people directly who remember the game, but what we can do is recognise those names. And as you say, you know, to have your name emblazoned on a stand or to have a statue outside the club, you know, this isn't the Emirates where they put one up every 5 minutes. These are special players in our history, and those players, you know, they did a lot for us. And there's that picture of Don Welsh, I think, somewhere around the valley, isn't there, as well, holding the cup. So those are names that, as Charlton fans, we can look back on, as you say, with pride. And for them to be able to go down in Charlton history is obviously massive for them as well.
Right, I had an email in from Bob Knight, who says, when we were talking about the changing in the coaching structure, says, "Hi guys, wishful thinking, but maybe the coaches are leaving because a change in ownership could result in wanting their own people in, and these guys are leaving to make sure they've got a job." Now, I mean, that's you know, one of the things you hear. I mean, everyone heard the rumours that were floating around about Carl and Wigan as well. I mean, you just wondered if they came out of the fact that there was ownership change of foot and then people start rumours and this and that, but that is a possible reason. I mean, I do think there is just so many people here, and this probably doesn't feel like a club yet where there's that much stability in your own role, that you would be tempted to go to, especially for the likes of Barker, to go to somewhere like Rotherham where he's known and appreciated and might feel there's a bit more. I mean, there's a hell of a job to do at Rotherham, but there's a bit more stability perhaps for next season.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, like you said, it's a big payroll, you know, it's a big payroll, and maybe it is the new owner sort of thing, maybe. Or maybe it just be a case of where Katrina and Roland have said, right, Jacole, wishful thinking here, you're going to get a nice big treasure chest for your playing staff next year. However, if you want that, you're going to have to trim on the coaching front, because you've got about 89 coaches at the moment. So maybe it is just simply that, and Cole's decided to say, right, okay, well, Simon Clark, you know, I prefer Chris or Lee or whoever his staff is going to be. Or like you said, it could be a case of where they know something we don't. But then that would beg the question of, what if that is the case, why is Cole still here? Why hasn't he just resigned then? So I don't know. I think it's more towards the way of, you know, Katrin said, right, there's your budget, you can have that, but then you've got to trim some of it off of your coaching staff. But I'm not in the club, so I could be wrong, but that's what I would take a guess at anyway.
Right, okay. Let's have another quick break. We've still got plenty to talk about here on tonight's Charlton Live. We're going to go through the players now, try and work out who we think is going to be here next season. We'll be back in 30 seconds or so.
So am I still waiting for this world to stop hating? Can't find a good reason, can't find hope to believe in.
Craig Grant. Can he get across into the middle? He can. There's Custer to the far post.
Yeah!
Custer to the far post. With a goal. Yeah! In the 96th minute.
Charlton Live.
From the home of time. Home of time. This is Maritime Radio. Greenwich.
Some people think I'm bonkers, but I just think I'm crazy. And I'm just living my life, there's nothing crazy about me.
Charlton Live.
Welcome back to Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio. It's the last big match preview of the season, 34th of the season. This is our 65th or 66th show of the season. It's incredible, really. Just to thank you, actually, at this point. Thank you. We've had over 80,000 downloads of the Charlton Live podcast this season, which has been easily our most lucrative season, and I mean lucrative in the loosest term of it, because none of us have got anything from it.
I was going to say, I didn't see any of this lucra, whatever it is.
Filthy lucra. But in terms of podcast down, over 80,000, so we're really happy that so many of you listened to us over the course of the season. We thank you for that. But like I say now, you know, On Sunday show is going to be the last show of the season, but I think in terms of, we're going to have the Swindon game to talk about, end of season compilation, in terms of like actually looking forward to next season, probably not going to be too much time to do that because we've got an end of season quiz as well. So at this time in the season, you want to start looking at players that you think are going to be here next season. Now there's two that we've sort of had it confirmed of the players that are running out of contract that will be here next season. That's Jacko, who's we were told to expect an announcement this week, so still time for that, potentially tomorrow, but you know, we've been told by Carl that he will be here next season. And the other one now is Andrew Crofts. Richard Corley's exclusive says that Andrew Crofts has triggered a new deal with the amount of games he's played. Now you're shaking your head there, Tom. You're not. I mean, you're not Crofts' biggest fan, are you? No.
It's like he's keeping Olds out of the team.
I see what he's trying to do, and I applaud his effort because he works hard, but he just hasn't clicked. He makes too many mistakes. Like Nath said a couple of weeks ago, he gives the ball away so many times for central midfielder. He's not creative enough. He's a bit of a firefighter. He'll get in and, you know, get himself about and make tackles. But as I say, I think he's just a bit too slow for that and ends up fouling a few times. So it's not that I dislike him personally or anything like that. It's just I don't think the Charlton team is any better with him in it.
I mean, I remember thinking at the start of the season, actually saying to someone after watching Crofts in pre-season, I was saying, like, he's all right, but he's not the player that's going to drive you to promotion, is he? I mean, we want to, you know, like I say, it'd be a bit of a water carrier. Like, he'll do a job for you, but he's not, you know, in terms of if we want an exciting player. Now, what his actual role in the team will be next season will be interesting to see, because, I mean, like I say, if he's our number one choice in midfield, which he has been for the majority of this season, I don't see us as being promotion contenders, really, when you look at the some of the other teams that have in their midfields, like the Sheffield Uniteds and that. You compare that to what we've had. I mean, that's the reason that we're down where we are, because our playing staff isn't as good as theirs.
Yeah, no, I agree. And for all season, I've said our central midfield lacks that Jordan Cousins type, the one who has a bit of pace, a bit of agility, who can turn defence from attack in a short space. But like Tom said, you know, nothing against Crofty, but he's not. I see him, like you said, as a water carrier, as like a squad player. You know, come on and shore it up the last 10-15 minutes away from home. I wouldn't say he's a starter to, you know, give us that sort of that speed and that zip in the middle, unfortunately. But yeah, it looks like he's here to stay. He's a squad player, but it all depends on, like you said, is he going to be our number one choice, or is he just going to be seen as a backup next year? And that's the proof will be in the pudding, wouldn't it?
I think when we look at it, the best thing he's done for us is that way in recording the Christmas video, really. So when that's your probably most successful part of the season, it's you know, that's it.
And the ball from McGuinness's goal against Bristol, that was it, really.
Which was brilliant.
Didn't he season. Didn't he swap the ball through for Lookman's guy at MK Dons on Boxing Day as well, I think.
I don't know.
We're scraping.
Right, so won a corner once, something. Yeah.
Right, so let's go through the squad now. I mean, obviously, yeah, like Declan Rudd, I mean, he's a player who he's on loan, so the likelihood is he's going to return to Norwich and then his contract's up at Norwich. So do you think there's a chance he'll come back here? Would you have him?
I'd have him, but I think he'll have better offers.
Yeah,
I think I know he's been at fault a few times this season, I ain't going to lie, but I still think he's better than League One. by far, you know, and if we keep him, I'll be delighted in a way, but even that I want Dills to play, because I think he needs, Dills needs games now, but if Declan stays, fine, but I think he'll get better offers elsewhere. And the amount of abuse he got, where was it? Northampton, wasn't it? The amount of abuse he got for conceding a goal. I was just thinking, why would you stay? Why would you bother?
Yeah, I'm sure that must be the case at every club, though.
But literally, they were screaming at him. I don't even know what they were screaming at him for, but I don't know if it's because we just lose all the time and that was it, but I just think our goalies get so much stick sometimes, a lot more than what I see usually. Well, since, you know, when we had Hamer, you know, we were winning, but even when we had Elliot and he made the odd mistake, because his distribution was, like, amazing, he never... I just feel a bit sorry for Deck, but I think he'll be gone anyway.
All right, what about Adam Chixon as a player we haven't actually seen playing much recently? I mean, I thought he was looking okay when he was in the team, so I'm surprised he hasn't played as much. I know he had these injury problems, but I don't know if that's still hanging over him or not. But
I'd have had him here all day long until, like you say, the last few games he's been dropped and Carl's talked about playing team for next season. You wonder whether he's going to be here. I mean, he's
ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's just got better and better as the season's gone on. I think when me and Nath commentated at MK Dons, he had a particularly good game, and then it seems from there he's just grown and grown and grown. And yeah, I'd have him here, but as you say, if he's being dropped now, you wonder if he's going to be sticking around.
Okay, next one. Let's have now, in terms of our defensive partnership, and for a large portion of the season, we were playing with Bauer and Teixeira at the back, because obviously Pierce was out injured. This is Teixeira who was frozen out by Russell Slade at the start of the season, but sort of came in with a clean slate. But now since then, I've noticed, again, the last few games, it's been Konsa and Pierce playing at the back. I mean, do you think that gives you any indication as to whether the likes of Barron to Cheryl will be here next year?
I think so. I think you'd have them, and I think Harry will play a few more games. Bauer and to Cheryl, I don't think they'll be here. I mean, A, for money reasons, and B, to be fair, they could play at a higher level. You know, I'm not saying they're blooming, you know, Vincent Kompany or whatever, but they're better than League One, and they probably cost us a fair whack, to be honest. Let's not beat around the bush about it. So, I mean, Konsa and Pierce, I'd have no qualms about that at all.
I think, it depends who we bring in again. I think Teixeira will definitely go. You would think Roger Johnson's going to go.
With South West Addicts has asked us on the Cheltenham Life Forum if we think Roger Johnson will be attendance for the Lap of Honour, be in attendance for that, do you reckon, on Sunday?
I'd be surprised.
Is there going to be a Lap of Honour on Sunday?
It won't be an honour. Just a lap.
It's just going to be a lap.
A lap of misery.
Sprinting. Let's make a sprint.
Yeah, I think Pierce, Konsa, Lennon, maybe Bauer will still be here. I don't think that's too bad. I think we need strengthening still. But I think Tex will definitely go. Bauer might go. But yeah, Lennon, I'd only want Lennon as support. I don't want him starting every game. But I could see Pierce, if Jacko's not going to play, I could see Pierce being captain next year. And I think Konsa, if he's alongside him, he's going to learn a lot. He's going to have had another season under his belt. You know, he's fast becoming not a youngster anymore. So I think those two could work.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, you've got Nicky Ojozan, and this is an interesting one. It's been out on loan at Swindon for the second half of the season, so his season's over now because he won't get to play on Sunday. What about him? Now, obviously, again, played a little bit under Russell, then was effectively dropped for a while, coming in bits and pieces, and Carl obviously didn't fancy him because he sent him out on loan in January. So do you reckon he'll give him another chance? You'd think that that'd be a surefire no.
I can't see it. I really can't, even though I think Nicky will have something to offer, which, you know, he's shown that at Swindon. He's scored a couple of goals because they play to his strengths. Robbo wants to play, if he does play Nicky, he's not going to play him as the focal point up front. He's going to play him out wide, like he done with Kieran Agard. But Jose's not that inside forward winger type. He's not going to track back. He's not. He's a poacher. I can't see him being there. I reckon he'll either loan him out again if no one buys him. But I can't see him being there unless Jose changes his the way he plays. But I can't see it.
Do you think there's danger we're going to sell Ricky Holmes in the summer?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Really, I think danger. He's gone already. I think.
Really?
Yeah, I reckon. I reckon he'll go United. If United put a bid in, I reckon he'll go straight.
Man or Sheffield?
Newcastle?
There's more than one United.
Yeah, because he's worked with Wilder. He's going to play in the Championship. He's not 20 years old. I'm not saying he's old, but, you know, he's not young. It might be his only opportunity. He's in his prime, I think. Well, I think it'd be crazy not to go, even though I'd love him to stay. And I'd even put my... I'd say give him captaincy just to make him stay.
I remember that's you saying to me when shortly after he arrived here that this was probably the pinnacle of his career so far. Mm. And it was, because it's the highest level he's played. But he's shown this season he can play even higher again. So I agree with Nath. Obviously, I'd do anything you can to keep him here, but I'd have no qualms with him if he decides, actually, I've had an offer from the Championship, because he deserves to give that level a go.
Mm. And you're both talking like as if it's a done deal. Have you got inside information on that then, Nath?
No, not at all. I just think if they put a bid in, I think it's done. But the only other option is that we give him, because he'll go, all right, give me a nice contract, which I can't see them giving him a really big bump contract. Mm.
Right, another loan player. Do you think Jordan Botarka's done enough to warrant coming back next year?
I'd like him to have done more. I think you can see there's something in there. I remember when he came, Leeds fans were a bit gutted that they shipped him out. But no, he's not done enough, has he? No.
He's had little flashes, hasn't he?
Yeah.
You know, when he hit the post against Rochdale and then sort of scored somehow. But no, to be fair to him, he did have a sort of stop start and he looked a bit rusty when I first saw him. But like you said, you can see there's something there, but it's not. You don't know if he's going to fall over or not when he has the ball. He'll either be amazing and set up like McGuinness did the other day, or he'll do some sort of dribble and then don't know where the ball is. But if we got him on a free, I'd say, yeah, okay, but I wouldn't pay money for him. Or I wouldn't get him on loan or anything, because I think that loan could be obviously better spent elsewhere. But if he was a free transfer, then maybe.
No, we talk about the youngsters, and we've always sort of mentioned Esri Konsa, but between him and Ariba, do you think there's a chance that they're going to be here next season? That's another question, because we have at times sold our best players, but then we did keep on to Adam Lindman last summer, for example. So
At the moment, I don't think they've done enough to get in that spotlight in the same way that Shelvey, that Gomez, that Lookman have done. I think they've been very, very good players for us. And I think they can do a job at least at League One level. But, you know, they've not torn this league apart and they're not being raved about in the same way. You know, Lookman was all over the airwaves and, you know, people knew about him from very young. And he was scoring goals. And okay, that's not necessarily these two's job, but I think they need to do a little bit more to get in that public spotlight. So I think it's a good thing, but I think for the moment we might have kept them under the radar enough that they can do something together next season, hopefully.
I think Cons is developing quicker. I think Aribo's got not a lot. I don't want to be horrible here, but I think he needs to work a lot on his positional sense and his intelligence. And
he goes wandering, doesn't he, sometimes?
Yeah, sometimes he goes missing, sometimes he gets out of muscle. I think his positional play is a bit suspect at times. But with the ball, I think he's absolutely fine. Konsa as well, I think Konsa's fine. I just like to see Konsa beef up a little bit, in my opinion, because I think he can win. But that Rochdale game...
Mm.
He went off injured, but that Calvin Andrew literally bullied him, literally. And that's the only thing I fear when he plays at centre-half. But I think Esri's best position is as that DM instead of cross.
Yeah, same.
That's why I think Konsa's best position is.
Now, Lee Novak's a striker that's... what do you reckon? He's still got at least a year, possibly 2 years left on his deal, actually, hasn't he? So, I mean, I can't see him... being shipped, you know, there's no reason for him to leave, but I mean, do you think he'll feature much next season?
I think with the great respect to him, I don't know who's going to come in for him as well, because he's not had a good season. I think he'll be here. I don't think he'll feature much. If Carl has it his way, he'll get somebody else in, or maybe McGuinness or what, but we'll come on to them, but there'll be somebody else leading the line. But if he can, you know, we saw what he did last season. He does score goals, and if he can make that sort of impact off the bench, he could be a useful player for us next season, which is what I thought he'd do this year. And as Nath said there, you feel a bit sorry for him, because you asked us about our worst signings of the season. He was one I had listed. Could not really, you know, I'm gutted, and it's just been a real letdown. But I think he'll be here next year.
Mm. And you mentioned there Tony Watt is an interesting one. He's got another year on his deal there. Do you think we're going to look to try and move him on at all? Would you think he's shown enough to be the spearhead of our attack next season?
I know it's social media, but since Jacko's taken him under his wing, he seems to have grown up a little bit. You can just tell the way he is, and he's a bit, I don't know, I can't explain it, but I think he'll be here. I don't know if we'd say to him we want him here, but again, I don't think if there's going to be many suitors for him. But I think if Jacko's got him under his wing, I think he probably will be here. But again, where is he going to fit into? Is he going to be this lovely number 10 that Cole wants? Mm. I don't know. He's obviously on a diet, isn't he? He hasn't eaten meat for forever how long. He's on some sort of diet plan. So I don't know. Maybe Cole wants him here, and that's what he's trying to do so far. But I'm in 50-50. I don't know if I like him to be here or not. I'm not too sure.
We talked about McGuinness, so I think he will be here next year. But there's this one that I found interesting. It's Carlin Ahern Grant. Now, he's played on Saturday up at Chesterfield, obviously, for Carl to have a look at him. Now, he's his contract's still got a couple of years left on it. And also, I've heard he's on like quite high money for a player of his standing, in like higher than other first team players. So I think we'll struggle to move him on, but I think in terms of what we've seen recently, the form he shows in the 23s is tends to be rather good, but he's just never shown it in the first team, really, has he?
No, he's one I really like as well. Every time he comes on, I always willing him to do well, because I like the look of him and what he can offer, and as you say, what he does in those youth teams is unbelievable. But I think it doesn't look like it's going to happen. This must be what, the third season that he's had little introductions and little chances, and he's not, you know, like Joe Piggott, we gave him a few chances and it just didn't work out. I think this is similar, and I think he's the sort of striker that could easily go someone else in League One and bang in 20 goals quite comfortably, and it just doesn't look like it's working here, unfortunately. Again, similar to Novak, I'd like him to be around, but I think realistically I'm not sure if we're ever going to see the best of him now.
Right, we've gone through lists of the players there, the ones who we think will possibly stay. We've gone through the majority of them, but I think we need to really hear from Jake Forster Cassidy. He came to speak to us after the game at Chesterfield last Saturday, and we haven't played this yet, so I thought you'd like to hear it. He obviously scored the opening goal for the Addicts, and then he missed a penalty late on, and I think you'll be able to guess which one was playing on his mind more.
Jake, a decent win, away win under the belt, and more importantly, another goal for yourself.
Yeah, obviously it's nice to win, but a little bit gutted about the penalty at the end. But overall, we're happy to start picking up results, because now it's about looking ahead to next year and going into next season with a positive vibe.
You must have been delighted the way the goal came. It fell decently for you, but you had to manoeuvre yourself to get that left foot shot away, and you hit it nicely.
Yeah, I just shifted it a yard, and you know, I struck it quite well, and luckily it went in. Something I've got to add to my game, because if you're a goal scoring midfielder, you're obviously worth a lot more. So you know, obviously I want to keep scoring goals for the team and keep winning games.
Stuttering season since you've come at the club, obviously through injury, so it must be great. You must be delighted to get game time under your belt and in a position where we're not in a relegation scrap.
Yeah, I mean, at one stage it looked, we was all looking at the bottom four, and we knew we was getting close to it, but you know, now obviously there's no pressure on us. We know that we've not done very well this season, but you know, we're all focused for next year, and if we can, we've got one game to go. If we can pick up another win, I think we'll be going into next year full of confidence.
Just the penalty at the end, I won't talk about that. It was a decent save from the keeper, obviously, but did you feel that had the ball come to you a little bit quicker in the breakaway, you would have been able to finish it and not needed the penalty in the first place?
Yeah, we can blame Bataka for that. Nah, to be honest with you, it's just a terrible penalty. I've taken a few and never missed, and I'm a bit annoyed by that, to be honest.
Yeah, is there something you'll play on your mind? You've played well, decent performance, good goal. is that penalty going to override? It's not going to affect your overriding feeling of the whole game, surely.
I don't know. When you get a penalty, I definitely expect to score it, so I'm a little bit gutted. But no, we've won and I've scored, so, you know, and it's my birthday Tuesday, so.
Happy birthday Tuesday.
Thank you.
Was it decided before that you were going to take the penalty before today, or was it just on the pitch decision that you made?
No, I just felt that it was the 90th minute and I've run the old pitch to get up next to the attacker and Giza's brought me down, so I just wanted to take it.
Yeah, and we were just off camera now, we were just talking about your goal against Southend, about you were saying you're going to try and claim that, so that might be your second goal for the club, but it was a fine strike from distance.
I'm definitely claiming that because I did touch it, so they need to give it to me because I want to. so hopefully they do give it to me, yeah.
Cool, thanks.
The manager was saying earlier that he thinks that you should score more goals. Is that something that you would agree with?
Yeah, definitely. Like I said before, I feel like I need to add goals to my game. I think people would say that I'm quite neat and tidy, but if you can start adding goals and assists, you become much more valuable and you impact the game a lot more. So I've been working hard. Obviously, Lee Bowie has come in and he's helped. Got Johnny Jackson here who always helps me. He tells me about he needs to get in the box more. The gaffer's always been on at me about I need to score more goals. So, you know, I'm working hard behind the scenes and hopefully now it's paying off.
The way you put that goal away, it's hard to think that you haven't scored more goals.
Yeah, I mean, I've only probably scored a handful of goals in my career, so obviously I'm still young, so if I can keep improving, the goals can come, and hopefully they do, because obviously if we're looking for looking to next season, if we can score from midfield and all different areas, the teams that go up, and that's obviously what we want to do.
It's probably not much consolation to you at the moment, but their goalkeeper's got a very good track record of saving penalties.
Yeah, everybody keeps bringing that up, don't they, about this? to be fair, it was obviously a good save, but it was a terrible penalty, so I'd expect the keeper to save that.
Fox throws it in towards the box, towards Pearce. Gets his head out.
And ball!
Penalty again, another penalty for Charlton. They have a second chance to redeem themselves, the Addicts. Heard protesting his innocence, but his hand was up and Pierce's header cannoned off Heard's arm. Can he maintain his composure as he steps up to strike this right footed? He does. They buries the goal down the bottom left hand corner, and Charlton have played a get out of jail free card here, you've got to say, as Nicky Ajoze pulls Charlton back level.
From the home of time, this is Maritime Radio, Greenwich.
Get out of the way, Stroud, you moron.
Charlton Live.
Welcome back, Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio, the final big match preview of the season as we look ahead to Sunday's game with Swindon here at the Valley, 12 o'clock kickoffs. Don't forget to rock up nice and early. Yeah, Nathan's infused by that early morning.
Yeah.
but I just want to say congratulations actually as well to the women's team who won their capital cup final against Spurs. They're in the middle of playing Spurs three times in cup finals, and they lost the first one, but they come back and won the second one, having been a goal down, so well done to them. And of course to Jason Yule's under 23 teams, they've won the PLD2 league at that level, and then they go into the national playoffs now to try and win the whole national thing. So congratulations to both those teams. Now obviously at the end of the season you like to sit down and look back at your highlights and your lowlights of the season, and I set the two gentlemen sitting opposite me on the table a few questions throughout the day for them to think about. So I just attacked a dynamo machine there in the studio. We'll just go from the top of this. I mean, obviously you look back over the course of the 46 games, we haven't had the final one yet, so this one maybe hopefully will trump all of them. But your favourite game of the season, Tom?
I had the 4-1 Bristol just after January.
Yeah, the Josh McGuinness hat trick. It's funny, really, because that was it was Cole's first win, or Cole's first win for a while.
First for a long time.
Yeah, and it might even have been his. I think it was his first win. Yeah, and it just felt like at that point we saw a performance against a team that we'd already thrashed 5-1 in the season. You suddenly think, well, he's finally clicked now. He's finally got us going.
Yeah, and we just played. We played such nice football. You know, it was a new year. I had like 8 of my family were here for my birthday. McGuinness scores a hat trick. It was just one of those really good days to be down here. So it was probably. I had the 3-0 Shrewsbury early on in the season as a good one as well. And the 5-1 Bristol away, but I wasn't out. But obviously, it was a good result. But yeah, 4-1 Bristol at home was the one for me.
No favourite game?
I went something different. I went for Scunthorpe at home, just because we just that first half, the desire and stuff, and obviously we didn't win in 8. And obviously, it was after that Northampton game, which me and Tom will try and forget. but yeah, I think that first half epitomised. I think it was the first time I actually really saw. It was that moment when Ricky Holmes and Nathan Byrne, we chased it down and won. And that was the first time I remember the season I was actually on the edge of my seat and actually really happy with the commitment. So, and like I said, without the winning 8, I think it was just vitally important, because of that run of games as well, because we had Sheffield United in there as well. So, I'd pick that one as probably my best game, just for the performance.
Yeah, I think for me, I'm going to have to say there's a lot of contenders up there. Obviously, Bristol and Rovers away. The 5-1 win there was a contender, but I think the best one for me had to be the 10-men win away at Bolton. Yeah. I mean, a team that will probably be promoted over the weekend. We were down to 10 men after Lewis Page got sent off. They scored from the resulting free kick. We went 2-1 up before half time. Our second goal was a glorious counter attack with Forster, Caskey, and Byrne, and then we held and defended so comfortable as well. And that's when I remember thinking after that game, like, Carl struggled to get a tune out of him really in his tenure so far, but I thought he's got a little bit of spirit into him now. Let's see where we go from there. And that was the last time we'd won in 8 games, which was incredible, really. Which now leads us on nicely to the worst game of the season, Mr. Wallin.
I've got 5 listed here. 4 are defeats, but
got
I'm going
40.
I'm going to go with the 1-1 draw at home to Oldham.
Yeah,
I was commentating with Tel for that game, and it was just awful.
Just such a poor performance. I remember speaking to Russell Slade after, and he seemed shell shocked by his own team's performance. Nath?
MK at home, flat,
that
poor.
That was on the list,
and that's the circumstances as well. With obviously the
PC Palmer
PC
stuff.
Palmer
and,
stuff.
Yeah.
I just thought to not even just put. They probably did, you know. I'm not going to sit here and say they didn't. They're not professional, but that performance could have been for any other game but that one, and that's why I put that in there, because that was flat and it was awful to watch.
Yeah.
Woeful.
Yeah, for me, I'm going to have to go for Cheltenham away patience reasons. right, so now best signing of the season. Obviously, we've seen a few. I think for me, sure. There's probably only one contender for this, but let's hear.
Overstad.
Why are you lying, Tom?
Yeah, Ricky Holmes.
Ricky Holmes for me as well. Although I think McGuinness, first half of the season's up there. Now, the worst signing of the season. So this is a difficult one, because I think there hasn't been as many duds this season as there has in previous seasons, but there's probably one or two in there that you've got to be disappointed with.
I put Novak down first, and then I just felt sorry for him again, and I put Lewis Page down, because even though he had an unlucky start, when I've actually seen him play, it's probably match fitness, but I've not rated him since he's come in. Every time he's played, I know he played for 20 minutes and got injured against Millwall, and then he got sent off at Bolton. Then he had a couple of games, and I don't know, they're just, when I compare Lewis Page to Chico and Jay De Silva, I'd still pick both of those above instead of Page. So for that reason, and because I'm going to leave Big Nose alone, I'm going to say Lewis Page.
Yeah, Tom?
Crofts
are your worst sign of the season. Now, for me, the worst sign of the season for me, now you've got to think about your expectation levels when you sign this player as well. And I've gone for Nicky Ojoze, because even though he did get 7 or 8 goals before he went out on loan, he was so... It just didn't seem his heart was in it, or the way we were playing. It was just such a letdown for me. Now, I think player of the year probably fits in quite nicely to best signing of the season. But obviously, that opens it up for players who were here last season as well. But
Holmes.
Yeah. But you know, we've said Chico and De Silva, I think, have been brilliant. But Holmes is going to win it hands down.
Should do.
But who, if Holmes wasn't here? If we pretend he wasn't here, who would you pick, honestly? You're struggling, aren't you?
Maybe McGuinness.
You're struggling.
For a player of the season, yeah.
Or Lookman, probably be up there, wouldn't he?
Lookman.
Forgot we had him.
Yeah. You'd probably have to say, like, Cons has been there, you know, I don't know. But that says it in itself. What sort of seasons we've had?
We had a tweet in from Matt Gainsford actually earlier about Konza. He said he thinks Konza could have a good next season if he's allowed to develop in one position.
Yeah.
He's looked a bit lost when CM, not DM. So he obviously thinks that in terms of his performances, they could be better if he was allowed to settle into one position, which is probably fair because he has been moved around, which is quite difficult for a youngster of his age.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, right. So trying to think what order I'm going to do this in. Right, funniest, your funniest moment of the season. I've got a couple.
I've got two.
Yeah, right. Two. Go on, Tom.
Way.
Yeah.
And when Slade had a go at you.
Oh, lovely. Yeah, I'm glad. I'm glad someone found that funny.
Well, no wonder why you didn't say anything in a WhatsApp group.
It's just the way he said it. Yeah. It just made me laugh. Sorry about that.
I'll tell you, if people have been recording, David Moyes had nothing on what he was.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that bit I didn't find so funny.
Yeah.
Nave? Oh, yeah, it was obviously cross at Christmas, and then there was a... I'll try and shorten it down. Basically, when we played Southampton at home, Foley was literally ran all game, and then we had one final sub, and then he's looked over the ball to sort of start walking off looking relieved, because he was blowing, literally he was blowing. And they put cross number up, and his face, it was just like, are you being serious? And then he run down, and then he nearly scored at the end. And then we said, then he had a penalty. I said, oh, he's going to hit the crossbar, and it hit the crossbar. So it was just a funny day. I was with Dan and...
you were Joe, yeah?
Joe Reed and Dan Farmer. So, yeah, it was a funny night.
Yeah, no, I think... because obviously the way... I think when I heard the Greg Stubley bonkers commentary, that tickled me.
That almost went in.
Yeah, excellent stuff. Right, and now you, the best moment of the season. You come to the end of the season, and it's been a struggle. We haven't achieved what we want to achieve, but this is still Charlton. We do still enjoy coming down here. So you got to pick a best moment of the season. It doesn't have to be a game. It has to be a moment. For you, Mr. Tom?
In terms of a specific moment, probably that hat-trick goal.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because of just general football, and then I put the Upbeats walk.
Oh yeah,
I thought the Upbeats day as a whole. It's the first time I'd done it. The walk was great fun. The day was good fun. Watching the game was great, and then the Charlton team won as well. So that as a day was just that showed what being a Charlton fan's all about, and kind of reminds you even when we have a bad season that there's still some good at the club. So those two for me.
Yeah, mine's exactly the same.
Yeah,
exactly the same. Yeah.
Well, in terms of a best man, I guess the other things is I think. Pig protest was quite funny. So in terms of a best moment, that was quite good.
The protest noted as showing the unity of the fans again.
Yeah, you mentioned. Like, so I think the hat trick goal was one of my favourite moments. Yeah. I think just the relief when we got that win against Southend, just when we knew we were going to be safe. Obviously, then it followed up with a comprehensive Gillingham's win as well. But yeah, those moments are all up there as well. Right, so now finally. Manager of the season. Now, normally that's a competition for the entire league, but I think this is one that we can have at our own club. Now, we've had... I'm not counting Nugent here, because he's only three games. So it's between Slade and Robinson.
Oh,
now.
We're doing it here? I thought we were doing it as the league one. Oh, sorry.
No. So it's between Slade and Robinson, basically. Now, who do you think was a better manager for us?
Defensively, Slade. But I think in terms of... It's a difficult one, but I would say Robbo, but I know I'm probably going to be in the minority.
I think Slade.
Yeah?
I'm not going to say we would have gone up with him, but I think we would have been a lot better off if we'd have just stuck with him.
A lot steadier.
Yeah. And I think, we might have only finished two or three places higher, but the season itself would have been nowhere near as rocky if he'd have stayed.
Mm. But then Slade did have Lookman. And true. Then Robbo did only have Lookman for a little bit. But
true.
I mean, I'm not...
Right, look, for me, in my opinion, I don't think Lookman stood out as our best player in the first half of the season, though.
But no, he did come up with some goals and some performances, though. I mean, and when he went, well, who did we really have apart from that? But I know Robbo hasn't won a lot of games, but I enjoy watching Robbo's games
a little bit more.
Even though we travelled miles and watched a 3-3 draw against
draw and then a 4-3 defeat against Rose. Yeah. It's a more open game, I guess.
Yeah, but I mean, it's you're picking two from a bad bunch, and you really you can't really have a case for either, but if you had to pick,
I would have picked Nugent. 100% record.
I would have gone for Russell Slade as well, I think. Despite you at the funniest moments of the season. Right, it's time to just very briefly look ahead to the Swindon game. I just had a tweet in from Will Bonan, actually. He's designated sign maker for Carl, or one of them, isn't he? Yeah. He's tweeted us all the different signs that he's made. Yeah. Swindon now have confirmed us down. There's nothing riding on the game for either team apart from we could get bottom of the top half. Yeah. protests are going to be big this season. A last chance, perhaps, before the summer for fans to show what they want to show if they're that way inclined.
Also, if things go the way that fans want, it might be the last chance they get to at all with this ownership. Whether things change over the summer, I don't know. But if they do, obviously this will be the last chance. So, yeah, I don't think what happens on the pitch is going to be the focus of many people. So, yeah, it'll be an interesting day in the stands, I think.
But it will be nice, though, to... You know, we've on this little unbeaten run now at the end of the season, and you know, do you believe that you can take momentum from one season to the next? I mean, there's been the talk recently. I'm personally not sure if that would make that much difference, to be honest. But I mean, it wouldn't hurt in terms of, you know, the feeling of the fans if we go off without losing a game in the last four or so.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if we win on Sunday, if when we win it 5-0 or 1-0, it's not gonna. I don't think it'll do a lot because of the turnover in staff that we're gonna have, but. It's like you said, it's always nice to win your last game, and because the last couple of years have been pony, you know, I mean, we've been relegated and been on bad runs, so we've got to take the rough with the smooth. So if we win, I'd enjoy it, but I know it's not going to make a blind bit of difference in the summer. But yeah, like you say, it's always nice to win and end a season, a bad season, on some sort of high, coming top of our mini 18 team or whatever it is, but league. But yeah, I hope so, but it's the last. A lot. You got some of these players probably have to play for a bit for their future, I suppose. Maybe.
Yeah, Ray Bates has just tweeted in saying, "I can't believe that Louis' favourite moment wasn't the home win versus Arsenal." If you're after a Palace fan, that I think you're after Freddie Saunders on that one, Ray. that crown's been taken from me, thankfully. Right. So, I mean, just very, very, very briefly, Jacko sounds like he's going to be leading out the team now. Because we're still hanging in, we don't actually know what the situation is. I think it's important that we make sure he gives a really good reception, don't you?
Definitely. And I hope this isn't the way he's going to go out, because, as I say, what happens on the pitch it is fairly secondary by the looks of things. But, yeah, if that is the last time we see him, then he deserves a whole show, really, to talk about him and what he's done for this club, because it's been nothing short of amazing to help drag us back to the Championship. And okay, we've then fallen back down, but he's been just a brilliant captain for us.
Excellent stuff. Right, we've run out of time on this packed Cheltenham Live, so we haven't even got time for predictions. We're just going to have to end the show. This is our final big match preview of the season. We hope you've enjoyed this. Don't forget, our final show of the season will be on Sunday, the traditional end of season party. There's going to be quizzes, there's going to be food, there's going to be beer in the studio, hopefully. So we hope you'll join us at 7 p.m. on Sunday. But Tom and Nath, thanks for coming in this evening.
Cheers, everyone.
I've been Louis Mendes. We'll see you on Sunday for the last show of the season. See you later.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.